Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a really close look at something pretty significant happening in global finance. We're talking about this huge wave, this massive surge of investment capital coming from Asia pouring into U.S. technology stocks.
Yeah, it's not just a small trend. The sources we looked at are describing the appetite over there as almost insatiable. It's really quite something.
Insatiable, that's a strong word.
It is. And, our mission today is to get behind those headlines. We want to understand what's really driving this. I mean, this demand is so big, it's actually pushing major financial players. JP Morgan is named specifically to, invent completely new investment products just to cater to this.
So it's not just market movement, it's changing how these big banks operate.
Exactly. It signals a pretty major shift in market strategy and product development right across continents.
Okay, so if you're trying to follow where the money is going globally, this deep dive is for you. We're going to unpack the aha moments. Like, what's really pulling this capital towards Silicon Valley? What are the tools, the vehicles being used? And crucially, what are the risks you need to be aware of?
Let's dig in.
So let's start with the basics, the why. Why US tech specifically? The sources seem pretty clear on this.
Yeah, they point to a couple of key things. It's this dual driver, wanting really robust growth opportunities and also needing portfolio diversification, getting exposure outside of their own domestic Asian markets.
Okay, growth and diversification. But what's so special about US tech for that?
Well, there's a perception, a strong one, about the quality and the innovation lead. When investors in Asia look at the big names, Apple, Microsoft, Google, NVIDIA, especially NVIDIA lately,
The big
they
players.
don't just see big companies. They see these global platforms that are fundamentally shaping how we live, work, communicate.
So it's the scale, the global reach.
That and this narrative of constant innovation, market leadership, it feels, I suppose, more stable or predictable in terms of long-term growth compared to maybe the regulatory shifts or the stage of development in some home markets.
Okay, I get the innovation argument and maybe the regulatory certainty part, but stability, that feels a bit counterintuitive, doesn't it? I mean, look at the volatility in the Magnificent Seven
Well,
recently.
that's a really good point.
Is this stability really about steady prices, or is it more like swapping potential home market risks for, high growth volatility?
You've hit on a key distinction there. Yeah, you're right. The stability probably isn't about avoiding the day-to-day price swings. It's more about avoiding bigger structural shocks, political risks, maybe. Investors in places like Seoul, Singapore, Hong Kong, these are sophisticated financial hubs. They're looking for tangible, long-term capital growth. And U.S. tech gives them that direct line, that exposure to global digital transformation.
A kind of global participation.
Exactly. Something they might not find quite as easily or at the same scale on their local exchanges right now. So yeah, they seem willing to accept the volatility as, the price of admission for that potential exponential growth.
All right, so we understand the pull, innovation, scale, that global reach. Now, how does the money actually get there? How does an investor in Seoul or Hong Kong easily buy into Silicon Valley?
Yeah, the mechanics are interesting, and the sources are unanimous on this. The exchange-traded fund, the ETF, is the absolute go-to vehicle. It's the preferred choice, overwhelmingly so.
And for our listeners who are pretty savvy about markets, it's not just about defining an ETF.
No, not at all. It's about why it's so dominant for this specific flow. It's about cross-border efficiency. Think about it. If you're an investor in Asia trying to buy individual U.S. stocks directly,
Oh, the hassle.
exactly. You've got regulatory hurdles, different tax rules, custodian fees that can be high, plus the sheer complexity of trading across different time zones.
It's a major compliance headache.
Totally. ETFs just slice through all that. They package a whole basket of assets, say U.S. tech stocks, into a single security that can be listed and traded locally on an Asian exchange.
Ah, oh, so much simpler.
Vastly simpler and cheaper. You get immediate exposure to the S&P 500 or maybe a tech theme without needing to directly trade U.S. securities yourself. That efficiency, that's the real game changer here for this massive flow.
And this demand is so strong, the sources say asset managers are literally scrambling to create new products. It sounds like a feeding frenzy.
It really does. They're rushing to capture this market share. And it's moved beyond just basic index tracking now.
It's about specialization.
Absolutely. There's a clear competitive race happening in product development. Just offering a broad U.S. tech ETF isn't enough anymore.
So what are they offering instead?
More specialized funds. Mm. Funds focusing on really high growth subsectors. And when you see a giant like JP Morgan strategically jumping into this space, launching their own products,
that's a big signal.
It's more than a signal. It's like an institutional stamp of approval. They believe this trend has legs, that it's going to last. And that, of course, just ramps up the competition even more to offer the most niche, the most targeted funds.
Okay, let's drill down then. If they're creating specialized funds, what exactly are these investors buying? What are the hot subsectors? The sources point to three main areas.
Yeah, a clear top three. And number one, probably no surprise to anyone, is artificial intelligence, AI.
The red hot area.
Absolutely. It's seen as the engine for future growth, full stop. Investors aren't just looking at companies using AI. They want exposure to the ones building the core stuff.
The infrastructure.
Right. The algorithms, the big data centers, the foundational models that everything else will be built on.
And is the attraction here the U.S. lead? The concentration of talent, maybe the data advantage those companies have?
That seems to be a huge part of it. They're chasing the companies that control the key intellectual property, the ones with those massive, unique training data sets.
The ones defining the future, not just using the tools.
Precisely. The belief is these companies are set to revolutionize whole industries, healthcare, finance, you name it. And that the U.S. just has this, well, perhaps unassailable lead in that core AI innovation right now. So you have to own them.
Okay, AI is number one. What's number two?
Cloud computing. The sources call it the foundational pillar of the digital economy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less flashy than AI.
But essential.
Totally essential. Think about it. Every company, everywhere, needs scalable, flexible, cost-effective digital operations. The cloud provides that.
And it's sticky revenue, right? Recurring subscriptions.
Exactly. Investors love that reliability. Plus, the global reach of the big cloud providers, the hyperscalers, is immense. The sources even mention things like the high EBITDA multiples these companies command, suggesting investors are willing to pay a premium for that expected growth and dominance. Hard to find that elsewhere.
Makes sense. And the third area?
Semiconductors, the chips, described as the bedrock of modern technology.
The unsung heroes, maybe?
You could say that.
Yeah.
But it's also deeply strategic, almost geopolitical. These chips power everything we just talked about, smartphones, data centers, AI systems.
Right.
And what seems particularly attractive to Asian investors, according to the sources, is the U.S. strength in the design and architecture side, the high-value IP.
Ah, not just the manufacturing, which might be stronger regionally in Asia.
Exactly. It's about the vertical integration, owning the core intellectual property.
Yeah.
So when they buy into U.S. semiconductor ETFs, they're essentially buying the brains behind the tech. That gives them exposure across the entire digital supply chain.
Got it. And you mentioned even more niche funds are popping up.
Yeah, thematic ETFs, things like future of work or digital transformation. But interestingly, even these often end up being heavily weighted towards the same big U.S. tech leaders because, well, they define those themes.
Okay, so the picture is massive demand, efficient ETFs channeling the money, and a clear focus on AI, cloud, and semiconductors. But it can't all be smooth sailing. Let's talk about the challenges, the risks.
Right, because despite all this enthusiasm, savvy investors know there are potential pitfalls. The materials highlight two main ones.
What's the first?
Lofty valuations. Simple as that. There's a real concern that some of these U.S. tech stock prices have, well, run ahead of their actual earnings or fundamental value.
They've gotten expensive. What does that mean practically for someone buying an ETF now?
It means you're paying a hefty premium today based on expectations of future growth. Very high expectations.
And if that growth doesn't quite materialize, or even just slows down a bit,
then those stock prices are really vulnerable. They could see a sharp correction, a painful drop. This is where that psychological element, the FOMO fear of missing out, can be dangerous. It might be driving demand beyond what the fundamentals strictly support.
Okay, valuation risk. What's the second big challenge?
Interest rate uncertainty. This is a big one right now. We keep getting these mixed signals from the U.S. Federal Reserve about where interest rates are heading and when.
And that uncertainty spooks the market.
It really does.
Yeah.
Especially for growth stocks like tech. Here's why. Tech companies, particularly the hyper-growth ones in AI and similar fields, get a lot of their valuation from earnings expected way out in the future, maybe 5-10 years from now.
Okay.
When interest rates go up, two things happen. It makes borrowing money more expensive for the company, sure. But critically, for valuation, higher rates reduce the present value of those future earnings.
Right, because money today is worth more than money tomorrow when rates are high.
Exactly that. You apply a bigger discount to those future profits. So even if a company is innovating like crazy, rising rates can deflate its valuation pretty quickly and put the brakes on a rally.
So investors have to watch both the tech innovation and the Fed's next move.
Constantly. It's this interplay between growth hopes and the cost of money that creates a lot of the volatility we see, even in diversified ETFs. It's a tricky balance.
And you add to that the intense competition among the ETF providers themselves, maybe rushing out products too quickly, plus the ever-present risk that some new technology comes along and disrupts the current leaders. It's definitely a challenging landscape.
No doubt about it.
So looking ahead then, how sustainable is this trend? Can this insatiable demand keep going?
Well, the argument for sustainability leans heavily on that relentless pace of innovation in U.S. tech. The sources mention things like quantum computing, synthetic biology, even more advances in AI.
Always something new coming down the pike.
Right. That constant stream of exciting growth narratives keeps feeding the long-term belief, the pull factor.
But it's not just about the tech itself, is it?
No, definitely not. You have to connect it to the wider picture. Things like global economic health, shifting geopolitics, potential changes in capital controls or regulations. All of these external factors could impact the flow.
And importantly, the development of Asia's own tech sector.
Absolutely critical. That's a huge factor in the long run.
Okay, so pulling all this together, what's the final strategic advice for you, the listener, trying to navigate this?
The key takeaway from the sources is really about balance and specificity. Don't just buy a U.S. tech ETF blindly.
Dig deeper.
Exactly. Yeah. You need to understand what's actually inside that ETF. Is it heavily weighted towards AI chip designers, cloud infrastructure providers? Know your specific exposures.
The diversification still matters.
Hugely. Fit these tech investments into a broader, well-diversified portfolio. Don't get overexposed to this one very volatile sector. And perhaps most importantly, keep a long-term view. You need to be prepared to ride out the inevitable bumps caused by valuation swings and Fed policy shifts.
So diligent research, disciplined risk management, and staying adaptive, that seems to be the recipe.
That's it. The flow is powerful, but the underlying risks are real and structural.
Mm-hmm.
You need a strategy for both.
All right, let's quickly recap this deep dive then. We've seen that Asian investor demand for U.S. tech is incredibly strong, almost insatiable. ETFs are the main tool being used, thanks to their cross-border efficiency.
Yeah.
The hotspots are clearly AI, cloud computing, and semiconductors, the engines of future growth.
Yep, the big three.
But you absolutely have to watch out for those potentially inflated valuations and keep a very close eye on what the Federal Reserve is doing with interest rates.
Crucial risks.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one final thought to leave people with. Something fascinating that the sources touch on.
Go for it.
It's about that point we mentioned earlier, the rise of strong, mature domestic tech players within Asia itself. This whole trend we've discussed exists partly because U.S. tech currently offers that perceived growth and innovation premium.
Right.
But the really interesting question is, how long can that U.S. dominance maintain this massive capital inflow? What happens if, or when, local Asian tech companies mature further, become more innovative, more globally competitive?
Will the capital start staying closer to home?
Exactly. Will that desire shift from seeking growth abroad in the U.S. to reinvesting in their own increasingly powerful domestic tech sectors?
Yeah.
That dynamic, that potential shift, is probably the really big strategic question to watch over the next 5 to 10 years.
That is definitely the pivot point to keep an eye on. Food for thought. Until next time, stay informed and maybe double check the specific IP concentration in your semiconductor holdings. Thanks for diving deep with us.